This week we are in week number 4 of our series in the Ten Commandments. We've been going through the commandments one by one. Next week is Father's Day, and we'll be talking about honoring your mother and father next week. So hey, invite some dads out. Bring your families, your fathers, stepfathers, brothers, uncles, cousins, friends, neighbors, coworkers. Invite them out. We want to bless all the dads next week. And really, it's honoring parents, both moms and dads. Through this series, we've been having this big idea that the Ten Commandments are not just a list of rules, but they're God's heartfelt message to his creation, that God wrote these commandments to us, and we need to really understand them and know what they mean and really process them for what they give us in our life. Because when we understand these commandments, what we do is we begin to walk into our purpose. We begin to fully understand why we're here, which is to love God deeper and to know him better every single day of our life. We began this series talking about how rules are never just rules, but rules are tied to relationships. Remember that in week one? And that these 10 are given to us to help reform us. We have to know the time that they were given to the nation of Israel. They were coming out of 400 years of slavery. So they help reform us. They help reveal who God is. And they also serve as a reflection of how we're living. Commandments 1, 2, and 3. 1 is that he is God alone and that there's no other gods. And it was about how we need to be loyal to him. Rudy preached on us not having idols, that God is God, he is the creator, and we should have no man-made idols before him. Last week we learned that God is holy, and we should never, ever, right, misuse the name of God. As I was preparing for this week, I was looking at some statistics from a poll that was done last year. And last year was just this perfect storm, right? We had this global pandemic. We had a lot of societal upheaval. There was a political wave happening with the election. There was natural disasters that we've seen happen. And doctors and hospitals were not only flooded with an influx of patients that were sick with COVID, but the rates of depression, anxiety, and stress were shooting through the roof. And as I was going through some research that had been done, experts are saying that the next crisis is already brewing. And the next crisis that's brewing is the crisis of employee burnout, of worker burnout, of people who are just overstressed, overtaxed, overburdened, and are ready or on the verge of burnout. And this research showed that 76% of workers that were interviewed, thousands that were interviewed by the Harris Poll Company, said that they were feeling burnt out. Women were at 80%. Men were at 72%. Younger women, those women aged 35 to 44, were 2 times as likely to feel burnt out. If you were married, you could add another 2 times. That makes a total of 4 times. If you were young, female, married, usually raising children, most likely you were feeling burnt out. Can I get an amen? This survey here from Deloitte Company, they do a lot of work with businesses. They found similar statistics. 77% of employees felt burnt out. 91% of employees felt that their stress was unmanageable and at frustration level. And 83% of workers said that the stress had negatively impacted their relationships. The causes of this stress were not only COVID, but the political issues, the fact that time off seemed to be going away, and remote work also increased these causes. The impact of this, I want you to look at some of these statistics here. We could go to the chart. 1 in 5 workers work over 60 hours a week. Over 60 hours, that's 1.5 times the normal work time, right? 28% of employees miss 3 to 6 days of work each year due to stress. Now, what's interesting that I discovered is you look, over 662 million days of vacation went unused last year. 662 unused vacation days, and 54% of employees ended 2016 with unused vacation days. The next chart, what is the cost of this? What is this costing? These numbers are just astronomical when you think of them. But the healthcare cost for workers who feel overstressed, overburdened, burnt out is over $190 billion yearly. Hospital visits, therapy sessions, medications, all rolled into that number. And over 120,000 people lose their life each year because they're burnt out. When they asked these employees what would help, what would change this, this is what they said in this chart here. 30% of workers said, hey, reduce our hours. Less work. Another 30% said, hey, we need more paid time off, vacation time, which is interesting when you think about how much of it goes unused, right? Then we have some more mental health issues, therapy, empathy from your bosses. But they had ideas, self-care, taking care of yourself. They had ideas of what would help solve this looming crisis. And as I was thinking about this week, it made me wonder, this is why you need to hear this morning. This is why you need to listen this morning. Because some of you here are worn out. Some of you here, you're totally depleted. You're overwhelmed. And the reason is, yes, because you're overworked. You don't have time off. Yes, maybe your bosses are not really empathetic. But I believe that one of the leading reasons why this is happening is because the people who are called of God have neglected to follow the rhythms and the patterns set by God in honoring the Sabbath. The fourth commandment that God gives to Moses in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. Beginning in verse 8, actually. He says to remember and observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day, it is the Sabbath day, a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. But on the seventh day, he rested. What is the Sabbath? My goal for today is to walk us through what the Sabbath is. I want to share with you 4 points of what the Sabbath is. And through it, show you how, again, this is God's heartfelt message to his people. To the people that he was gathering for himself. And remember, they were coming out of slavery. And one of the ways that the Ten Commandments are used in our life is that they reform us, right? They reform our thinking. They help us leave the old patterns and the old ways and the old mannerisms and habits of living when we were once enslaved to the world. And they help us walk in newness and freedom in who we are in God. And one of those commandments is honoring and observing the Sabbath. So here is the first point that I want you to understand about the Sabbath is that the Sabbath is a work-rest rhythm that was established by God. The Sabbath is something that was established by God himself. God himself. Again, I go back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. It says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested." On the seventh day, God rested. We know that the Hebrew word Sabbath means literally to stop. Stop. Stop what? Stop working. Stop working. Why did God stop working? Was he exhausted? Was God tired? Did God need a break? God was not exhausted. God was not tired. God did not need a break. What God was doing when he rested on the seventh day after he had worked the 6 days of creation was he was establishing a rhythm and a pattern for us. Adam had been created already, and God was establishing a rhythm and a pattern of rest for his creation. He was saying, I'm going to be a good parent. I want you to do what I do. And on the seventh day, I rest. We know Genesis 1:20 says, 27 says, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. At creation, God is saying, you are like me. And the way I operate, I am like you. And if I rest on the seventh day, so should you. Genesis 2, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day that he rested from all his work of creation. Again, you see God here establishing a rhythm and a pattern of rest for us to follow. For us to follow. It's interesting that this idea of Sabbath from this mention to Adam is not mentioned again for 2,500 years to the times of Moses. For 2,500 years, God doesn't mention the Sabbath. But when he gives the law to Moses, he mentions the Sabbath. And again, you have to ask yourself, why? Why did God choose now to reintroduce this idea of rest? Well, remember, these people were coming out of 400 years of slavery. Their minds were a mess. Their spiritual selves were a mess. Their mental selves were a mess. Their physical selves were a mess. These people had been worked to the bone for 400 years. They were stooped in the world in the way of its thinking, a world that had them enslaved, had them trapped, had them beat down. And now God says, I'm leading you to freedom. And part of that freedom is going to require that you learn how to take rest. You see, when we come to the Lord, we come to him with our mind broken, right? Stuck in the ways of the world. And one of the ways that God wants to get you unstuck from the ways of the world and get your mind straight is to give you these commands. These commands are your roadmap to freedom. And man, one of the things that keeps people trapped and keeps people stuck are a people who don't know how to get rest. I want to quantify what this rest means. Because there's some people, you find your rest in acquiring more. What gives you peace? What gives you rest? When you acquire more? When you achieve more? When you accomplish more? Hey, only after the list is done will I rest. That's a mindset that keeps you stuck in slavery. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 23, God tells his people this. He says, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day, set apart from the Lord. This was when the Israelites were receiving manna from heaven. And every day the manna would come. And every day the people would go and work and gather the manna. And even when it came to their own provision, God was saying, hey, you're going to honor me in the way you gather that provision, in the way I bless you, in the way you receive it. You honor it because you trust that it's coming from me. Verse 26 here, look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 26. It says, you may gather the food for 6 days, but on the seventh day, it is the Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground that day. Some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. The Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? Great question. God had said, hey, on the seventh day, you don't go out to get food. Trust that I've provided enough for you. They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That God, in his sovereignty, in his wisdom, in his provision, has created, he's set apart, established a rhythm of work and rest where he says, hey, this is your day not to work. The Sabbath is blessed, it's sanctified at creation and reintroduced during the time of Moses. Are you honoring the Sabbath? If you're not, maybe perhaps you're trying to do more than God requires of you. The author Walter Brueggemann says this about people who honor the Sabbath. He says, people who keep Sabbath live all 7 days differently. They live all 7 days differently. Jesus himself understood this. In Mark chapter 6, in the King James Version, we see Jesus had just finished ministering the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is overwhelmed. He's tired. He's been ministering nonstop. And Jesus himself tells his disciples this. He says, come ye yourselves apart into the desert place and rest a while. Jesus says, hey, we got to come apart. We got to separate ourselves from the work a little bit. You know why Jesus understood that you needed to come apart? Because if you don't come apart, you know what's going to happen? You're going to fall apart if you don't learn to come apart. And this is Jesus, the Son of God, endowed with supernatural power, healing, miracles performed. Yet Jesus himself said, hey, I need to go and take a break. You see, some of us, when we don't honor this work, rest, rhythm, we fall to the unholy trinity. I like to call it the unholy trinity of worry, hurry, and scurry. Anybody know that life? Where you worry, this got to get done, this got to get done now. My inbox is full, the messages are coming, text messages are blowing up my phone, my DMs are off the charts. That begins to make you worry. So what do you do? Now everything becomes a hurry. Now you're tensed up, now you're on the go, now you're on 10 at all times. And when because you hurry, what do? You scurry. You move from one thing to the other, you make mistakes, you don't have time for the right things. You prioritize the urgent, but you miss the important. You're not honoring God's work-rest rhythm, the pattern that he has set. And when you do that, you hurt yourself mentally, physically, spiritually, and relationally. So the first thing we must understand is that the Sabbath is a pattern that was set forth and created by God himself. On the seventh day, God rested. The second thing I want you to understand about the Sabbath is that it's a consecrated and blessed day of rest. Back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. It says, that is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. He blessed it. He set it apart. He consecrated it. That means that the Sabbath has a life-giving touch of favor on it by God. God blessed the Sabbath day. He set it apart. It belongs to him. We need to be intentional about honoring that. When we don't, what we do is we rob ourselves of this gift of blessing, this gift of favor that God gives us by honoring and observing the Sabbath. He says to keep it holy. When he tells Moses, he says, honor and observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That means he's saying consecrate it, set it apart. That means it needs to be sacred. It needs to be spiritual in nature. Listen, a Sabbath is not vacation time. It's not just a day off work. You need those too. You need those too. But Sabbath is a regular rhythm in your life. It's a regular part and pattern and rhythm in your life. It's a deeply spiritual discipline where you take time away to enjoy God. That's Sabbath. Some of us think, man, I take vacations. I got Saturday and Sunday off. But are they a Sabbath, though? Are they a Sabbath day? Or is it just a day for you to, you know, disconnect mentally? I love what Tim Keller says. Tim Keller, we got to pray for Tim Keller. He's not doing so well health-wise right now, so please lift him up in prayer. But he says, the purpose of Sabbath is not simply to rejuvenate yourself in order to do more. Because a lot of us feel, oh, the weekend is my time to recharge so I could just hit the ground running again. We miss the point of Sabbath. Nor is it the pursuit of pleasure. That's where we confuse, you know, vacation time or fun time with Sabbath. The purpose of Sabbath is to enjoy your God. To enjoy your God. In life in general, what you have accomplished and the world through his help, and the freedom you have in the gospel. And the freedom that you have in the gospel. The Sabbath is meant to be consecrated, to be set apart, set for God. Here's what happens when you don't honor the Sabbath. And I've seen these happen in people's life. When you don't honor the Sabbath and give God a day of just enjoying Him, enjoying your life, the fruits of your labor, people become misaligned. Their priorities and their perspectives come out of whack. And they begin to put other things before God. Another consequence of not keeping the Sabbath is what I like to call dependency. In other words, we become dependent on that Saturday and Sunday. How many of you have ever said at work, God, I can't wait till the weekend? Oh, it's Wednesday. What do we call Wednesday? Hump day, right? Why do we call it hump day? Because it's just 2 days left after that, right? 2 days till what? Till we get to the weekend. See, when we misview our time away from work in this way, we become dependent on that. And for some of us, the only thing that's getting you through your Monday through Friday is what? Saturday and Sunday. You are not honoring Sabbath if you have that attitude. Because if you have a day of full rest, of enjoying God, God fills you, God begins to energize you, you don't get to the point where you're depleted or burnt out because you're no longer just living for the weekend. Now you're living your purpose. The third one is depletion. Some of us are just so worn down because the calendar is just full every single day. Something to do, something to get done, somewhere to go. Someone to talk to, a meeting to make. And we deplete our energy and we have nothing left for God or nothing left of the important things for God. When you don't honor the Sabbath, what often happens then is you take on idols in your life. Your job becomes your idol. Your accomplishments, your status, what you acquire, the material things of the world become your idol when you don't honor the Sabbath. And ultimately, the biggest consequence of not honoring the Sabbath is you burnt out. You crash and you burn. And you fall apart because you failed to come apart. So not only is the Sabbath something that's a pattern that's created by God, but it's consecrated, it's holy, it belongs to Him. The third thing I want to share with you is that the Sabbath is something that's been altered by the reality of Jesus' resurrection. The Sabbath is something that's been altered by the reality of Jesus' resurrection. Because in the church, questions come up when it comes to the Sabbath. Should we honor the Sabbath? Isn't that something that's only required by those who are under the law? What day is the Sabbath on? Shouldn't it be Saturday? Didn't God rest on the seventh day? Why do we as a church kind of do Sabbath on Sunday? Does this even apply to us? Do we even need to do this? Let me address the question. I think the question already of whether we need to do this has been put to bed. If God rested from His work, so do you. Case closed. That argument is over. Jesus rested, so should you. I don't think there's any argument for those who say, oh, the Sabbath is for those who are under the law. No, I think if you are a follower of Jesus, a believer in God, then you must honor the Sabbath. That's why they're called the commandments. Now, as far as when the Sabbath day should be celebrated or honored or observed, let's talk about that. Right now, we observe the Sabbath on Sundays. We know in the Jewish religion, they have Sabbath on Saturdays. For those of you who speak Spanish, that's where the name Sábado comes from the Sabbath. Saturdays, the seventh day on the calendar, Sunday, day one, Monday, day two. Saturday, day seven, the Lord rested on Saturday. Why do we celebrate on Sunday? This has been a question that has come up in the church, kind of again and again and again. There's people who have opinions that it should be strictly on the seventh day. There's some denominations who still have church on Saturdays. They believe that that should be the day that the church celebrates the Sabbath because that's what the people did in the Jewish tradition. Here's what happened in the first century. The early church after Jesus' resurrection, because the truth is that the Sabbath was altered by this reality that Jesus overcome death, overcome the grave, defeated the devil for eternity. The early church, when it would gather on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Why would they gather on Sundays? Because that is the day that the Bible tells us that Jesus was risen from the dead. The early church gatherings, they didn't have a worship band. They didn't have fancy lighting. They didn't even have buildings. What they had is each other. They had the fellowship. They had the community. And what the community was gathering to celebrate was the resurrection of Jesus. They were saying, hey, we witnessed this Jesus rise from the dead. We're not only going to celebrate that on Resurrection Sunday like we do now, but what the early church really was doing was saying, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday is an opportunity for us to remember that our God, that Jesus, overcame the grave. He defeated death, and we no longer have to live as slaves to fear, but now we are His children, and we can look forward to a day where we live in eternity with Him. So every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. That's why they would gather on Sundays. What would they do there on Sundays? Many historians who wrote from that time, one of them, Justin Martyr, said that they would gather, they would share communion, they would break bread. Again, remembering the sacrifice of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. They would share communal prayers. They would pray for one another. They would get in groups and pray. They would pray for others. They would read from the Gospels. They would recite scripture from memory or from texts that they would have, and they would gather. And when would they do this? They would do this on Sunday. And because they would do this on Sunday, this became known as the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is Sunday. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, in the first chapter, in verse 10, says, it was the Lord's Day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit. Here's the picture of this older Saint John sharing this common language. When he said, I was worshiping on the Lord's Day, anyone who read that, they understood that this was Sunday. What day is the Lord's Day? It was Sunday. Now listen, the early church did this for a few hundred years. They established the Sabbath on the first day of the week, moving away from the Jewish tradition of the seventh day of the week. Now for those who want to celebrate Sabbath on the seventh day of the week, should we alienate them? Should we castigate them? Should we judge them that they're out of line with Scripture or orthodoxy? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But for those of us who honor the Sabbath on the first day, you see, because another reason why the early church celebrated on Sunday was not only the resurrection, but Sunday was the first day of creation. Right? Remember in Genesis, when God made the heavens and the earth, He did that on the first day, and so He did on the first day. The first day was what? The Sunday, we would call it, right? So the first day is also an observance of the new creation, of God creating something new. Who are we when we come to Jesus? We are a new creation. Even in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20 says, on the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. On the first day of the week, the early church here, these are the early church fathers. We would gather to pray. It's interesting, it says Paul was leaving on a trip, so he preached like all night long. I think it was kind of funny that they would mention that. Paul preached till midnight. You don't have to worry about me preaching to midnight, ever. Promise. Even in 1 Corinthians 16, it says, regarding the collecting of money and regarding the gathering of yourself on the first day of each week, do it as we did it in Galatia. The way the Galatian believers would meet on the first day of the week, the first day of the week. You see this shift here because the truth is that the Sabbath was altered by the resurrection of Jesus. Transformed, changed. Now we know that in 321, the Emperor Constantine converted the Roman Empire to Christianity, and he officially said, it's Sunday. And many people say, well, we worship on Sundays because of Constantine. No, that's not true. The early church had been worshiping on Sundays, honoring the Sabbath on Sundays for a few hundred years before then. Why do we worship on Sundays? Why is the Sabbath for us on Sundays? Because that's the Lord's Day, the day of the new creation, the day of the resurrection. Ignatius of Antioch, who lived 40 years after Jesus, says, "Those who followed ancient custom, the Jews, have come to a new hope, no longer celebrating the Sabbath, but observing the Lord's Day." He's saying, man, even these Jewish converts, they're leaving the Saturday Sabbath, and they're honoring and observing on the Lord's Day, the first day. Why? Because they have a new hope, the day on which life sprang up through Christ. This reminds me what Jesus prophesied about in Matthew 5:17, when he says, Don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I come to accomplish their purpose. The whole law was fulfilled by Jesus. So this Sabbath is something that's been touched, transformed, altered by the reality of his resurrection. Jesus on the Sabbath taught. Jesus on the Sabbath healed. Jesus on the Sabbath shared hope. Miraculously, he was charged with it. He was alleged to have broken the Sabbath, not honoring God because of it. But we see Jesus, even in his life, showing that our relationship to the Sabbath is not something legalistic, but existed to worship him, to have activity, but to also have rest. And here, I think this one just puts it to bed. Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 2, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people. Hear this well. This is the words of Jesus. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is God's gift to you, a day of rest for you, a day to align yourself for you. It wasn't made for you to have to meet it. It was made for it to meet your needs. If God rested, so should you. Those who say, no, we have it wrong, this should never be on Saturday. You know, during the pandemic, on Saturdays, this church would feed literally tens of thousands of people all throughout the city. Some of you here were there on Saturdays. What were you doing? You were lifting boxes. You were throwing bales of food. You were praying for people. You were waving cars. You were getting people in line. You were working. You mean to tell me that people would think that Jesus is going to frown on that? That Jesus would tisk that? I'm sure Jesus was looking down, smiling, saying, look at my people, be my hands and my feet to a city that's hurting. The Sabbath was meant for us. We were not meant for the Sabbath. It's to meet our needs. So what does that mean for you? Let me wrap this up. For Sundays, for you, that should be a time that you consecrate. I believe every believer needs to consecrate their time on the Lord's Day. Listen, it's hard because sometimes you don't have control of your schedules, and I understand that. But one of the first things that I would do when seeking employment is I would ask, what do you do on Sundays? Listen, I understand fully you might not have that freedom or that choice, but you need to honor the Lord's Day. So consecrate it. Set it apart. The thing you need to do is prioritize it. Prioritize it like the early church prioritized it, and make that a time where you come together in corporate worship, in communal prayer, to remember the Lord's resurrection, to celebrate communion together. Another thing you should do is remember what God has done for you and in your life on this Sabbath day. It's a time to remember. For the Israelites, it was a time to remember that he brought them out of slavery. And for you living today, a lot of you were living in a form of slavery before you met the Lord. And the Sabbath day is a day where you remember and you thank him for giving you your newfound freedom. And the last thing is to enjoy. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. Have fun with your family. Make that a day where you come and you worship with your family together. The last thing that the Sabbath is, it's pointing to a deeper spiritual rest for your soul. It's pointing to a deeper spiritual rest for your soul. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I will give you is light." Are you stressed this morning? Do you feel overwhelmed? Like you can't live up to expectations, like you can't live up to standard. Are you tired of constantly striving for something that seems impossible to reach? Are you weary? Are you tired today? That's you. This is the invitation of Jesus to say, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Listen and hear me well. Only in Jesus will you ever find the rest that you're truly seeking after. And nothing else will you find that rest. Not in any accomplishment. Not in any check, even though it's very large. Not in any promotion which man can give you. Not in any piece of property that you could buy with the fruits of your labor. Not in any fancy car that you could drive or fancy wardrobe that you could wear. Nothing, nothing, nothing will satisfy the rest and the peace that your soul seeks after. Only in Jesus. He says, "Come to me, those who are burdened, and I will give you rest." Listen, I know why you break the Sabbath. We want to control things. We want to be in control of everything, even things we have no control over. So we feel like we constantly got to be going. Some of you break the Sabbath because you're self-reliant. Hey, you haven't learned to fully depend on God for everything in your life. You're still trying to make it on your own. You know where that's going to get you? Burnt out. You're going to burn out. You can't make it on your own. You were not built to make it on your own. You need God in your life. Some of you are breaking Sabbath because you're just misaligned. Your priorities are out of order, and your identity is found more in what you do instead of who you are. And for some, you just neglected it. You just haven't made it a part of your rhythm. So I'm inviting you today to make Sabbath a regular part of your rhythm, a time consecrated, set apart for God, for you to thank Him, for you to remember Him, for you to honor Him, and for you to get rest. It's His gift to you. It's His gift to you. Will you take Him up on this command to keep it and make it holy? Can we stand together?